Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Cann Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cann, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And if you haven't gotten a copy of my book, you can get a free excerpt on my website, www.karencann.com, and that also comes with 5 free classes, free webinars, which you can, you know, use and see if you enjoy self-healing. That's what I'm all about. Now, today's show is very special. We're going to be talking about the afterlife with spiritual medium Jeffrey A. Marks. Now, he is the author of 2 volumes so far, at least, The Afterlife Interviews, Volume 1 and 2. Number 2 is released now, and this is very interesting to me, although I have to be honest, when the first volume was released, I didn't read it right away because for whatever reason, I mean, I sometimes will just read when I resonate with things, but I really wanted to support Jeffrey and his work. I know a lot of my colleagues have supported him and his work, and I really believe, like, wow, this is really important stuff, how to actually talk to people in the afterlife and get some answers that most of us are probably dying to know about. But for whatever reason, I didn't read his book right away, but recently, over the last half year or so, I've had my own personal experience talking with dead people. Not that I do this every day or anywhere as often as Jeffrey does, but it's in the context of healing my patient that it's come up. And so it's kind of a new skill set, and it's very touching, very, you know, a really heart connection, and it's been a real transformation for me, my life, my, you know, the patients that I'm seeing. And so then I was like, wow, I got to pick up this book and start reading it and see what's going on the other side. So it's amazing, fascinating interviews. So Jeffrey has taken 52 questions. I don't think I thought of any other questions that he didn't ask of the people that have died and gone to the other side. And he's got 14 different points of view. He's interviewed 14 folks that have died, you know, that are friends and family of people that he knows. He spent a lot of time, you know, doing these interviews and transcribing them and putting them into this volume and taking all that data and kind of crunching it for us in these different chapters based on the questions that he's asking. So I'm so excited to have Jeffrey on the show. So welcome, Jeffrey.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure, and congratulations. Your Volume 1 was a finalist in the 2013 USA Best Book Awards in the New Age Nonfiction category. Woohoo!
Yeah, and Volume 2, just to slightly correct you a little bit, it comes available on May 14th.
Ah, May 14th. Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
I knew
it's
I
not
had
quite
to
out
know
there
what
yet.
Okay, fantastic. And where can people, actually, we'll do this right now and just make sure that people know where to get a copy of the book, but can they pre-order it?
Amazon.com is where we want to funnel people through on May 14th. In some parts of the world, they can pre-order it. I know they can pre-order it in London. U.S., I don't think they can pre-order it just yet in the U.S. But on the day of the release, May 14th, they can go to www.afterlifeinterviews.com and order through there and get access to tons of prizes and gifts from other people like yourself, too. They're helping me launch the book. And I'll also be giving away 3 free readings to people that order the book on that day through Amazon, through the website. So it's very exciting.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, we're going to back up a little bit and just ask about you. How did you become a spiritual medium? And, you know, how do you verify that you're actually connecting with people that have crossed over?
Excellent question. Okay, the short story to that is when I was 3 years old, my family lived in a very haunted house, and it was not the good kind, shall we say. And we were only there for 8 months, but the events that we experienced, you know, it shaped our lives from then on out. And so I grew up knowing that spirits exist. And just growing up and certainly through my teenage years, and when you go through that hormonal change and all that stuff, all this energy gets ramped up. And in that process, I began to have more experiences with, to be blunt, the unseen world, shall we say. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, you grow up and you got to go out and get the white picket fence and all that. And so you kind of shove it away. But it was something that just kept coming up. And finally, at one point in my life, I was just going through some issues, and I threw my hands up in the air and said, okay, you've got to give me some clue about where to go. And that's where my mom calls me up on the phone, and she says, turn on Sci-Fi Channel and watch this guy named John Edward. And so I did, and it was just kind of like, now I could see the impact of the work, and I could see what he was doing, and I was like, gee, I wonder if that's the direction they're wanting me to go because of all the experiences that I had growing up. So that's long story short. In regards to the afterlife interviews, what started that was in 2006, I joined the Washington State Ghost Society, which is a paranormal investigation group with all the scientific equipment and everything, and started doing ghost research with them. And when I heard my first EVP, which is electronic voice phenomenon, where you get their voice on a recording device, you don't necessarily hear it while you're there, but when you listen back to the recording, their voice is there. When I heard my first really clear EVP, I said to myself, wow, now here's an opportunity to learn something about the nature of consciousness. So what I did is I created a list of 22 questions about, you know, what is life like as a ghost? And I started asking those questions at every location that we went to investigate to see if I could get an answer in the form of an EVP. And I was. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is incredible. And then down the road, a few years later, I was listening to an interview with a scientist who was interviewing another scientist who was studying mediums. And he asked the question, why don't the spirits on the other side tell us what life is like there? And I'm like, well, they do. And that's when I sat down and I said, I'm going to come up with 52 questions. I went out and I got the volunteers for the sitting. So I had more than 14 people come in to sit. But when it comes to answering your question about the evidence, before I would have my sitters ask any of these questions that I had formulated, I wanted to make sure that I did have that connection with a friend or relative in spirit. So I required that spirit ahead of these questions to give me information that can be validated, give me names, give me dates, give me conditions, give me past memories, things that really demonstrated a link with somebody surviving in spirit. So once we had that information, then I allowed these questions to be asked. So there were a few cases where we didn't get to the question period because I just didn't feel like the connection to the spirit was strong enough. I just didn't think the link was ultimately quality enough to ask the questions. So I'm very, as you can tell with how I laid out the book and everything, I'm very logical, left brain kind of person. So I'm a pretty big stickler for evidence.
Oh, that's great. Well, definitely one cannot refute if you're getting these answers from the other side and then the sitter is saying, yeah, that's my mom or that's my dad. That's exactly how he would answer that question. Or, yes, he did have that illness. Or, yes, his brother did die when he was young. It's hard to refute that you're not actually communicating, you know, with that person. So it's pretty hard to pick that stuff out of nowhere.
Yeah, and what was really fascinating about it is I was recording these sessions so I can transcribe them, and I actually got EVPs. So I was actually getting some of the voices. And I would call a couple of the sitters. I called back and said, would you please come listen to this? And I would play for them the EVP, and their eyes would get really big and be like, oh, my gosh, that was him. And, so in between some of the questions, it was really nice because the spirits would, again, bring through a personal anecdote or a personal memory to continue to demonstrate that this link was still occurring and happening.
Ah, yeah, no, that's wonderful. And for our listeners that have just joined us, I am interviewing Jeffrey Marks. He's the author of two books, The Afterlife Interviews, Volume 1 and 2, and number two will be out later in May. And you can actually click the link on the Blog Talk Radio site to go to Jeffrey's website to learn more about him and his book. So we're talking about, you know, Jeffrey talking to people on the other side. And I know that, you know, the volume two isn't out yet, but looking through volume one, there's a lot of amazing questions that you've asked there, and I'm going to ask you about one in a moment. But one of the things that I thought was really interesting was one of your questions about form. Do you know, people on the other side have form? Do they have a body? And I really wasn't expecting, you know, some of the answers that had come up, and some of it made so much sense to me afterwards. For example, them saying, yes, you know, I do have form, but it's, you know, it's fluid. I can change it at will. It's instant. People on Earth, you know, when you're in the earthly existence, things are slow. The vibration is so much slower. And you, and this one particular one that I dog-eared here in the book, this was from Sarah's a Muslim grandfather. He says, diseases and stuff that you feel down here, as in from Earth, comes from your own mind and nowhere else. It just takes sometimes a little time for the bad thoughts to show up in your body. But on the other side, he keeps snapping his fingers. It's quick. So it's sort of like on the other side, they can go, well, if I think negative thoughts, I can just, you know, manifest a cancer immediately, and so I'm not going to do that. And whereas here on Earth, we can think negative thoughts, and it might take 10 or 15 or 20 years to manifest that cancer. The things are slower. But I thought it was so interesting that he said diseases and stuff you feel down here come from your own mind and nowhere else. That is fascinating. Do you have comments about
because,
that, Jeffrey?
Yeah, we are in a and I believe this is probably true of both here and there, but it's a mental existence. It's a mental universe. However, here in the Earth plane, it is a slow-moving, dense vibration, and so we have this framework of time that we live in before this stuff actually plays itself out, whereas on the other side, time is virtually simultaneous, and so things can be realized, you know, almost instantaneously. But that was one of the takeaways from the book through the whole series, was how much we do have control and impact in our lives, no matter where we exist, whether it's here or there. And really, it's just talking about being more aware and the power and efficacy of love and what all that can bring to us, no matter where we exist.
Yeah, well said. Well, before we go on to some questions that you asked in Volume 2, I think one of the most popular, I would say popular, questions that people have is, which appears in Volume 1, is about past lives. Do past lives actually exist? And if so, what are they? And what's the purpose of having these multiple lives? Did you get answers to those kinds of questions?
Oh, that is one of the most popular questions, is the past life question. And it is a little hard to wrap your brain around, but again, once you step outside the framework of our three-dimensional universe, which is a space-time universe, there is no such thing as time, and so it ends up being past, present, and future all wrapped up in one. And so when it comes to past lives, what you're really dealing with are what you can consider simultaneous selves. And the best way to sort of look at that is, like, if you were to look at your hand, and you've got five fingers on your hand, well, those five fingers you can see simultaneously all at once, but if you were to dip your hand through like a prism or into a framework of time, it would start to take on this appearance of one finger coming in before the other. But yet they're all connected to the same hand. And in a spiritual sense, we can say, well, that whole hand is the oversoul, with each finger being its own individual self, but they are all connected because they're all part of the hand. And so this is why you can have what we would consider past life recall memories, because many of the simultaneous selves and reincarnational selves are working on a lot of the same issues, a lot of the same goals and things that you are, and this creates a psychic sort of vibrational tethering between all of your individual selves that you can connect in. Now, what's very interesting is, because we think more or less in terms of a this before that mentality, we don't get a whole lot of great access to what we would consider a future self, but those are technically there. And, I think in some ways we understand this through our experiences of deja vu and things like that. But there are also future selves there that technically we can have access to. But I think because of our upbringing and our belief systems, we don't generally, we put a block in place for being able to do that. And then, of course, you get into the whole thing about free will and destiny, and just creates a huge Pandora's box to open.
Yeah, well, I was going to get to that next. You know, yeah, some people, you know, they've heard about, you know, this thing, fate or destiny, or maybe even like, you know, we choose our family members to, you know, so-called reincarnate in the earthly realm. So can you tell us more about kind of those issues, what you've learned?
Well, when it comes to like destiny and things like that, to me, it's all really about the level of energetic dynamics and what you have really put out there, because we all do have free will, and it's all about probabilities and how we access those probabilities. But if we're always into filtering our reality, as you know, and so in those filters are kind of sets up a little bit of a route for our probabilities to go, even though we have other directions we may be able to choose. We oftentimes don't, because we don't give ourselves those opportunities. But when it comes to with other family members and families and stuff, yes, we do travel in groups. And usually what's going on is there's this balancing of energy going on where we are working out certain lessons, certain expressions. You know, we are learning lessons from them, but conversely, they're also learning lessons from us. And this usually has an aspect to it of lots amounts of time. So we've got our life here, but we've also probably got simultaneous lives in other time periods with members of the family, and we're all working these things out. I mean, when you break down life and we come into this world and we leave it, what are we really left with? And well, not stuff. It's really all about the nature of our relationships. And I think that's
right.
Really probably all this is about.
Interesting. So when people complain that their mother was mean or their father was an abuser or whatever, we actually chose them.
On some level. As much as we like to rally against that thought, I mean, who would really want to be an abused child, right? As much as we'd like to rally against that, on some level, though, that is chosen. And we may not understand it consciously, but somewhere deep down in the subconscious level, in that superconscious level, in that spiritual level, we understand why, because of certain lessons that needed to have been learned, certain emotions that needed to be experienced in order to balance out possibly other things that we did in other times of our lives or other times of our spiritual oversoul life. You know, we all got to remember that what we are experiencing here is a very, very powerful illusion. But I kind of hate the term illusion because that makes us think that it really has less truth or to it. But it's still true, but it's a camouflage. It's a play that we have to go through in order to integrate the types of lessons and expressions that our soul is capable of producing.
Okay. Well, that the other interesting thing which has come up recently for me, having to personally deal with in the office, is negative energy or entities, which I suppose in many spiritual religions it's no big deal. Yeah, there's the good, the bad, the angels, the demons, you know. But for those that have not, you know, are not very religious, it seems almost kind of impossible, or how can these things exist? But now I realize, I've been dealing with them, you know, helping my patients heal, and there have been demons and ghosts and sometimes not so friendly ghosts and negative energy, evil spirits, that kind of thing. So what's the feedback on the other side about what those things are? Do they really exist? What do they represent?
When it comes to evil spirits, what we're really dealing with are spirit is spirit. And what's really going on is you have the spectrum of knowledge to ignorance. And what they're telling us on the other side is those spirits that we perceive as evil are simply those spirits who do not understand the nature of their actions and their thoughts. the memory that always comes up for me in this is the image that one. I forget which session it was, but one of the spirits that was coming through was showing me a playground of little children fighting each other and biting each other, and she just kept saying, "They're just bratty little kids, bratty little kids." In other words, evil spirits are simply those spirits who simply have not gained the knowledge and awareness yet to know what the impact of their thoughts and actions are. But they eventually will get there, because we're always in a state of evolution. We're always in a state of expansion and growth. But yes, there are absolutely spirits out there, just like people. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to, is they're really all just like people, and they either know or understand how they fit in with everything and how there are repercussions to their thoughts and the things and how they do things, or they don't understand that, but they will eventually learn it.
Huh, interesting. Well, what about demons then? What are those?
Demons, actually, that's something that I myself really don't believe in. I have yet to see anything that makes me think that there is a demonic force. Yes, there are evil spirits in the sense that you can have an angry man, you can have a man that was a murderer and a rapist, and he still harbors some intense negative energy, and yes, that energy can be forced and focused. So there can be heinous and evil deeds, but when it comes to demons, it's not something that I really subscribe to. And I've been studying ghosts and haunted locations for many, many years, and I still have yet to encounter anything that makes me think that there is a demon that gets attached to, like, Satan or anything like that. I don't really come at this with a religious framework. For me to be objective and really have curiosity, I try to divorce myself from preconceived notions, and
sure.
I have yet to encounter anything to make me think that there are demons out there.
Mm, yeah, thanks for answering that. For those of you just tuning into our radio show today, I'm interviewing Jeffrey Marks, the author of the Afterlife Interviews, Volume 1 and 2. Jeffrey's a spiritual medium who talks to folks that are on the other side, and he's created a couple of volumes asking 52 different questions about the other side, and we've been focusing kind of on Volume 1, some of the questions that I found extremely interesting on Volume 1. And if you're wanting to ask a question about the other side, you can call into the show live. The number is 818-514-1190. Again, it's 818-514-1190, and just hit 1 so I know that your hand is up and you have a question. So Jeffrey, tell us, what kind of questions are you asking in the second volume, and what was like the most, one or two most profound things that you learned asking those questions?
Oh boy. Actually, on the back, I'm gonna ratchet back a little bit to the demon question. There are some spirits though that do have, they like to play sort of nastily, and they can make themselves look like demons and that sort of thing. So if you are experiencing that sort of thing, there are spirits who are willing to go along with that. So at any rate, what were some of the more fascinating questions in Volume 2? Oh, my gosh. Volume 2 really gets into some of the deep, deep questions. Volume 2 starts off with, what is the actual environment of the afterlife like? Because Volume 1 really just dealt with the continuity of consciousness and moving into the afterlife and the retaining of self, whereas Volume 2 actually gets into the environment itself. Is there an environment? Are there cities? Are there rural landscapes? The deep questions, though, get into things like, well, how do spirits view the nature of God? What about biblical and religious prophets from the past? Are they there, and what is that like? I mean, are they like superstars, celebrities like we have here? And if all time is simultaneous, the idea that we're going to be judged in the future and there's going to be some chaos there surrounding that, well, hasn't that judgment already been made if the time is simultaneous, and what is that all about? So some very deep questions in the next volume.
That sounds fascinating. Interesting. Are you willing to maybe divulge one piece of information that that was amazing to you?
Yeah. The one that was really cool was the question about, how do you view God? Because, you know, I'm interviewing 14 different people. they each had their own unique perspective. But what was, to me, the most interesting was they all, in some way or other, suggested that they understood that they were wrapped up with God. They were not separate from God. But some of them really couldn't get quite a handle on what that was. But one of the most beautiful analogies that came through was from the fourth sitting. It was the grandmother of my sitter, and the grandmother was like, "You got to think of God like a blanket, and you are a thread in that tapestry." Mm. And I'm like, wow, that's a beautiful analogy. Another one that came through was from session eight. The mother of my sitter was an artist while she was alive, and she said, how did she put it? It was something along the lines of, "God is the paint and we are the brush." And I was like, wow, that's beautiful. That was a very interesting description. So, yeah, that very, very interesting question.
Wow, that's very interesting. And I really resonate with some of those answers, too, like on an intuitive level. It feels right to me. And I think the cool thing about the books that you have, Jeffrey, is that it really takes the fear out of dying, I believe anyway. And it's like, you know, talking to your loved one in a safe way. And I felt a lot of peace just reading it. I mean, some of the answers were more surprising than others. Like, I don't know, I had assumed certain things. Like, I assumed that, you know, once you die, you just kind of know everyone and everything. And I didn't really think you had a personality anymore. But in volume one, you know, a lot of them said, yeah, I still have me. You know, I've let go of things that don't serve me, but I'm still me. You know, I'm still the personality. I'm like, wow, really?
Yeah, I mean, some of the answers that came through was surprising to me too, and you know, that's good, because when you're the medium and the answers surprise you, that's like, okay, that demonstrates that connection is there, it's legitimate, because you're not touting what you think is your own philosophy, and so yeah, some of the questions were very challenging in that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I do really appreciate the objectiveness of, you know, how you did these interviews and really just transcribing, you know, what people said, the feelings and images they gave you, like raw, and you sharing those in these books. And like I said, I think the real benefit of, you know, reading your books is that I found a profound sense of peace, you know, reading them, and that it wasn't as big a mystery anymore. And even though I had believed we still go on, it's almost like it grounds it in reality, so to speak, of what happens. And so I think that people can really get a lot out of, you know, reading your books and feeling that peace and going, wow, you know, we have some answers. This is really cool, and we don't have to be afraid. And, you know, we are evolving, and we have choice, and we can shift what we're thinking and feeling in our three-dimensional life now, you know, keep evolving. I think those are very powerful messages.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And that's actually one of the most humbling responses that I continue to get from the book is how much peace it has brought people. And I've had people tell me that they have a relative or had a relative that was getting close to passing, and they gave them the book, you know, because they wanted to give them some idea at least of the possibilities. And that's right. Really how I wanted to approach delivering the book is I'm not putting this out there to say this is written in stone, this is exactly what it's like. But what I am saying is this is possible. These are possibilities. And how do these possibilities feel with you? You know, because honestly, we really won't know until we get there ourselves. But based on the work that I've done and the research that I've done, I am willing to say that I believe this is possible. And I believe this is possible because of the evidence of that I had of connecting with the spirit beforehand. But even outside of that, I believe this is possible because of all the research that has been done with mediums, not just myself, but other mediums out there, and all the research that legitimate paranormal investigators are doing out there, and they're getting the EVPs and showing that, indeed, consciousness does survive the body. And now we're just moving into that area of, well, what does that mean and what does that represent? And so I'm just presenting this as a possibility for some of those answers.
Mm-hmm. That it's fabulous, and what an amazing work that you've done. It's the most direct and accessible description of the nature of the afterlife ever compiled, actually, in modern times. So thank you for that. And for those listeners, if you want to learn more about Jeffrey's book, can you just repeat your website where they can get volumes 1 and 2 and when volume 2 is going to be released, Jeffrey?
Yeah, my main website is www, that's three W's, right?
Yep.
Spiritualexploration.com is my main website. Right now we're working on the website for the book launch, and that will be www.afterlifeinterviews.com. I don't think that's quite up just yet, but that's where you want to go on the day of the launch in order to get into the drawings and get the prizes and everything that come with it on that day. But definitely, people are interested in doing some research on me and looking me up. Spiritualexploration.com is the place to go.
Okay, fantastic. And what day, again, is your book available, the second volume?
May 14th.
Okay, May 14th. And we'll be sending out a reminder email for people that are on my mailing list when Jeffrey's book is available, so you can get a copy of that. And highly recommend that you do Volume 1 and 2 if you really want to be, you know, peaceful, not in just in this life, but really help yourself evolve and change, you know, your perspective of your current life. And the things don't have to be so hard as we think they are sometimes when we're in the middle of, you know, living life here. So our time is up, Jeffrey. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us and your expertise. And thanks for this, you know, amazing project that has been born out of love. It's so obvious reading your book that it's born out of love and, you know, a real gift to humanity.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on and for your kind words. It's very humbling. I'm very appreciative.
Oh, my pleasure. And until next time, everyone, thank you for tuning in. Bye for now. Take care, Jeffrey.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.